verse of scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning is the verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." The hymn writer could say, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" And with those words, he was telling of a time of backsliding in his life as a Christian. And people this morning, backsliding is a spiritual tragedy that can affect any believer and indeed can affect any church. Speaking upon this subject, Charles Spurgeon said, "It is dangerous to backslide in any degree, for we know not to what it may lead." In other words, he was warning there that backsliding can do great harm to the testimony of the Christian and to the testimony of the church of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, he warns God's people about this reality in the words of our text this morning in 1 Corinthians 10 and the verse number 12. When he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." In this chapter here before us, Paul warns the Corinthian believers about the danger of self-confidence. And in that warning, he cites the example of ancient Israel of old, a people who were greatly favored of God, a people who were greatly blessed of God, a people who were consecrated to the Lord, a people who had known God's protection, they had known God's provision, they had known God's guidance in their life, yet despite such mercies. In this chapter here before us, Paul tells us how they fell into sin and how they provoked God's displeasure. Notice what he says about them in verse 5 of the chapter. He says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." He tells us there in verse 6 how they lusted after evil things. He says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." He tells us in verse 7 how they became idolaters. He says, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them." He tells us in verse number 8 how they lived immoral lives. He says, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. He also tells us how they tempted God with their sin and their rebellion in verse 9. He says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." And then he tells us how they murmured against God and God's mercies and God's goodness toward them as a people. Look at verse 10 of the chapter. He says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." And moving on from that, if you go to verse number 11, you'll see there how Paul tells the Corinthians here that this account of Israel's backsliding is an alarm to them as Corinthian believers and to him the apostle and indeed to every Christian. For he says in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples," if you like, types or examples, "and they are written," it says, "for our admonition," for the admonition of God's people, "upon whom the ends of the world are come." Following on from that, in verse number 12, he then warns the Corinthian believers about the sad potential there is for backsliding in the life of every child of God when he says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Brethren and sisters in Christ this morning, these words would also serve, yes, I believe, as a warning to you and I as God's people as well this morning, about the danger of backsliding or sliding back in the Christian life. In recent months in our morning meetings, we've been looking at some of the great issues that concern and relate to the Christian life. Well, today I want us to think upon these words here in verse 12 where it says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And in looking at these words, I want us just to consider the tragedy, the spiritual tragedy, of sliding back in the life and the testimony of God's people. Notice first of all with me here the meaning of backsliding. Our verse says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Notice the mention there in the use of that word fall. That word fall there speaks of the believer falling into sin. The believer doing that which is wrong in God's sight. That which is contrary to the word of God. And dear people, this is what happens when we backslide. When this happens. When this fall comes into our lives. There's a turning away from the Lord in our lives as God's people. You remember Solomon of old, in the Old Testament scripture, Solomon was a saved man. He was a man greatly blessed with the wisdom of God. He was used of God mightily in the building of the temple. Yet the Bible speaks of Solomon in his latter years that he went away from God's word and God's commandments. And the Bible tells us how he married many heathen and ungodly women. And the word of God says this, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. There was a turning away of his heart from the Lord. And that's what happens when we backslide. There's a turning away in our hearts from the Lord. Also, whenever we backslide as God's people, we become careless and indifferent to the things of the Lord. We become like the church at Ephesus, of whom it was said, thou hast left thy first love. The love for Christ is no longer red hot as it once was. That love was put into second, third, or fourth, or tenth place in our lives. Also, whenever we backslide, we turn away from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel meeting, the gospel message, no longer has an attraction for us as it once did. We no longer rejoice in the gospel like we once did. And instead of resting upon the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ alone for our merit with God, we start to lean upon self. We start to lean upon the works of the law and what we can do for merit and pleasing before God. May we become like certain believers in the church of Galatia. Turn over there to Galatians chapter number 5 and look with me just at what Paul says here to these Christians. They turned away from the simplicity of the gospel. They now began to rest upon their own works and their own self-righteousness and what they could do for merit and for pleasing before God. They no longer rested and rejoiced in the simplicity of the gospel, in the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. And look at what Paul says to them in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 4 and the verse number 7. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, they thought they could maybe now be justified by their own works, ye are fallen from grace. Verse 7, he says, ye did run well. There was a time they went on rejoicing in Christ and the gospel. Then he says, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? There was a turning away from the gospel. Dear people, that's what happens when backsliding affects the people of God. There's a turning away from the gospel. There's no longer that rejoicing, that sweetness in the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel message that there once was. And also, dear people, when we backslide, we no longer enjoy fellowship with the Lord as we once enjoyed previously in our lives as God's people. You see, our sins separate us from fellowship with God. That's what the Bible teaches us. You remember what Isaiah said to God's people in the book of Isaiah. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. They were no longer in the place of fellowship that they once were with the Lord. And dear people, this is something of what it means to backslide. It's a growing cold. It's a losing interest in the Lord and in the Bible and prayer, in the things of God and witnessing for Christ our Savior. It's a turning away from the Lord. It's a turning to the world. And can I say this is something that just doesn't happen suddenly, or if you like, overnight, in the life of God's people. It generally occurs in a process of time. You remember what Solomon said in the book of Song of Solomon. He says, the little foxes spoil the vine. Little things creep into our life as Christians. And step by step, they wedge us further and further away from God. You think of Lot this morning taking his wife and his family away from the godly influence of Abraham and Sarah, and going to live in that most wicked and most filthy city, the city of Sodom. It just didn't happen overnight with Lot. It all started, the Bible says, by him looking at Sodom. The Bible says Lot beheld all the plain of Jordan. That's where Sodom was. His eyes were upon the plain of Jordan, not upon the Lord. And the Bible says he went a step further. He pitched his tent towards Sodom every moment, every morning when he opened his tent. He was looking out upon Sodom. Then after a process of time, you find him dwelling in Sodom. My, you read of him even judging at the very gate of Sodom. He became like the people in many ways in that place called Sodom. But it just didn't happen overnight with Lot. It happened over a process of time. Yes, people, we see something of the meaning of backsliding. But secondly, this morning, I want you not only to consider the meaning of backsliding, but the cause of backsliding. What causes it? Well, you look at our text again there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse number 12. Look at what Paul says. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Notice those two words, take heed. Those words would warn us that there are things that can cause you and I as Christians to stumble, to fall, to slide back, to go back in our Christian life. What are those things that we need to be warned about and need to know about as Christians in our Christian life? Dear people, backsliding often begins when the believer fails to maintain their quiet time with God. Over the years, I've heard many Christians giving their testimony, I'm sure you have as well, and telling maybe of a time of backsliding in their lives. And the vast majority, yes, 9 out of 10, will say it commenced with a neglect of the quiet time in their own lives. They left off private prayer. They left off the private reading and study of God's word for themselves. And child of God, it will be the same with you and I also if we neglect our quiet times with God. If we neglect private prayer. If we neglect the private reading and study of God's word for ourselves. And the Lord would warn us about that. For he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There Jesus says if we leave off prayer, we will faint in the Christian life. Again, he speaks of God's word, and he says man ought always to live or to abide by the word of God. And it's important to us just as bread is to our physical frame, he says. If we leave aside the word of God, we'll grow cold in our Christian life. There was one famous preacher of old who said, backsliding always begins with dusty Bibles, and there's a truth in that. When we cast aside our quiet times, we will grow cold. Also, dear people, when we forsake God's house, the place of public worship, will also grow cold as God's people. And can I say, dear Christian, it's imperative that we attend the Lord's house, that we attend the Lord's table, that we come to the place of public prayer. And the Word of God emphasizes the importance of that in our lives as Christians. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We're not to forsake the place of public worship, as the manner of some is, says the Bible. And also, dear people of God, if we fail to obey the leading, and indeed the prompting of God the Holy Spirit in our lives, we'll begin to backslide and lose out with God. Paul warns us of that in the book of Ephesians when he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed. unto the day of redemption. And also as Christians, if we fail to confess Christ before others, our Savior, my, we'll grow cold. The Christian life is all about God's people witnessing for Christ, telling others about their Savior. The Bible says to the Christian, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Turning your Bible over, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10. And look at what Christ says to us here in verse 32 and verse 33 about the matter of confessing him before others. Matthew chapter 10 and the verse number 32 and the verse number 33. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. There are many things we can say about those two verses, but one thing we want to note today in connection with our message, God wants you and I as Christians to witness for our Savior. To confess Christ before the world in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, wherever God and His providence leads us day by day as God's people. I remember in my own personal life and walk with God, especially during high school years and later teenage years, there was a time of turning away from the Lord, a time of backsliding. And the cause was a failure to own Christ before others. And to nail our colors to the mast before others that we belong to the Lord. Christian, don't you make that same mistake. Christian, do not hold back from confessing Christ before others. Far better to confess Christ than to keep quiet and grow cold and slide back from the Lord. Never be ashamed to own your Savior. Don't let the fear of man keep you back from speaking a word for Christ, a word for your Redeemer. Then another cause of backsliding is failure in our lives as God's people to walk and to live in the light of God's Word. And dear people, if we disregard the clear teaching and the clear commands of God's Word, as God's people then will soon be walking in darkness. Walking in bypath meadow. And we emphasize that today. There's an awful turning away from what the Word of God plainly states and plainly teaches. Things that are black and white. That there's a turning away from God's Word and what God says in His Word. And what God teaches in His Word. You remember the words of John to God's people? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. He's talking here about the light of God's Word. And if you and I as Christians seek to live and to abide in the light of God's Word, we'll have fellowship with the Lord. We'll be walking in the center of His will. But my, if we neglect the commands, the teaching of God's Word, we'll not be walking with the Lord. We'll be walking away from the Lord. We'll be walking in bypath meadow. My, we can only live in fellowship with the Lord if we're walking and living as God's people in the light of God's Word. Yes, the meaning of backsliding, the cause of backsliding. Notice thirdly this morning, notice the outcome of backsliding. What does it lead to? When you think this morning of a lighthouse shining in a coast on a rock and the lamp shining. A lighthouse, what does it do when it shines at night? It warns the sailor, it warns the ships about the possibility of shipwreck and catastrophe upon the rocks and the coastline. Likewise here in our text this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse number 12. Paul here warns the believer, he warns the child of God, he warns you and I who are saved of the awful consequences of backsliding, the consequences of spiritual shipwreck. Look at what he says in our text. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Notice there in verse 12 how Paul uses that word, wherefore, and that's very important. For it points us back to all that has been said in this chapter previously regarding erring Israel. And by that word, wherefore, he warns us that there are fearful consequences when we backslide, when we go away and turn away from the Lord and the things of God. Dear people, when we backslide, what happens is a love for the world and all its attractions takes over our lives as Christians and as believers. You remember what Paul said about Demas? A man who once served the Lord with the Apostle Paul, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. The love of the world took over his heart. No longer was the love for the Lord, but the love of the world took over and led him away from Paul and the service of God." That's what happens when we backslide. One of the consequences, the world takes over the life, the heart, the mind, the thinking, the mindset of the Christian. Also, backsliding leads to covetousness in our lives as God's people. No longer content with God's providence and God's mercies to us, always wanting more of the world. That's one of the reasons why Lot moved to Sodom. He thought his cattle would fare far better in the well-watered plains of Jordan. But he was to pay a big price for that step and for that decision. And now when backsliding takes over, there's that discontentedness with the Lord's will, the Lord's mercies. There's even a complaining against God, a murmuring against God. Look at how Paul reminds us of that there in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured." That's what backsliding leads to. Can I say also that backsliding leads to a spirit of self-confidence, causing us to think as Christians we no longer need God? That's what happens in the life of the backslider. He feels he no longer needs God in his life. You look at what our text says. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest if all the picture here is of one, a Christian, a believer, who thinks they can stand on their own without the Lord, they no longer need the Lord's strength and grace." That's the picture there that Paul is conveying to us. My, the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." My, the backslider is overcome with his own pride, his own haughtiness. He feels he no longer needs God, no longer needs to read God's word, no longer needs to pray and to seek God. That's what happens. That's the outcome of backsliding. And also, whenever we backslide as Christians, we become self-centered as God's people. We're no longer concerned about God's will for our lives. We're no longer concerned about the good and the spiritual well-being of others. We become taken up with self. Our self becomes number one in our lives. What does the Bible say in the book of Proverbs? "The backslider in heart shall be filled," the Bible says, "with his own ways." We become taken up with ourselves. Also, dear people, when we backslide, we set up idols in our heart in the place of God. That's what happened with Israel. Look at verse 7 and verse number 14. Look at what Paul says here. He says, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them." In verse number 14, he says here to God's people, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And when God is not reigning in the heart of the Christian, something else is reigning, or someone else is reigning in the heart of the Christian. Yes, there's a taking up with idolatry. Also, backsliding causes us to disobey God's will for our lives as Christians. You remember Jonah this morning. Jonah was a Christian. Jonah was God's servant. And God said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to preach the preaching that I will tell you to preach." But I'm sure you're all familiar with the record. Jonah thought he knew better than God. And he got on a ship that took him down, not to Nineveh, but to Tarshish. He ran away from the will of God for our lives. And that's where backsliding takes us in our lives. It takes us away from the will of God, that good will, that perfect will, that acceptable will for our lives. And it causes us to disobey not only God's will for our lives, but God's word for our lives. You remember King Saul, the first king of Israel? A man anointed of God. God told him that he wasn't to spare any of the Amalekites. He was to wipe them out. Yet he spared the king Agag and the sheep and all the provision. He disobeyed the word of God. And God said of Saul, he has turned back from following me. He hath not performed my commandments. And that's where backsliding takes us. A road of disobedience to the commandments of God. Something else, backsliding will rob you and I as Christians of spiritual power. Power for God. You remember Samson, what a man Samson was, yet he went against God's will. He turned away from the Lord. He lost his power. And the Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. When his locks were shorn and when he broke his vows in Nazareth, he lost the power and the influence that he had. And backsliding will rob you and I as God's people of spiritual power. It also robs us of peace, the peace of God. Remember the Bible says about Lot living in Sodom, and Lot was a Christian, he was a child of God. And the Bible says Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day. He hadn't the peace that he once had as a believer in his life. His heart was vexed. And also, dear people, backsliding robs us of joy in our life as a Christian. Remember Peter, the servant of God, the disciple of the Lord? He denied that he ever knew the Lord. He cursed his Savior at the trial of Christ. What did it lead to? It says Peter went out and he wept bitter tears. It led to loss of joy. It led to tears in his life. Dear people, speaking upon the subject, Bishop Ryle of Liverpool said this. He said, it is a miserable thing to be a backslider. Of all the unhappy things that can befall a man, I believe, says Ryle, that backsliding is the worst. And he was a man who spoke with authority, a man who knew the Lord, a man who was used of God. And then something else we need to understand as well, dear people, backsliding has a most detrimental effect upon our homes, upon our family, and upon our children. You think of Lot this morning. He lost his wife in Sodom. He lost his sons-in-laws in Sodom. Because of that choice that he made as a believer, later on his very daughters were to be defiled with sin. It had an effect upon his home, upon his family. You think of David this morning, the man after God's own heart that we read about in the Scriptures, the one that we love to read about in the Scriptures. Yet there was a time in his life he went away from the Lord. And it had dire consequences upon his home, his family. His backsliding led to strife. It led to division. It led to the shedding of his blood, of blood in his family. That's what it led to. And God said this to David because of his backsliding. He says, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Now you see the fearful consequences, dear people, of backsliding. But saddest of all, dear people, backsliding would cause you and I as Christians to lose our reward in heaven as God's people. You turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse number 15. And Paul here warns the Corinthian believers about this very fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse number 15. He says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, he's just saved by the skin of his teeth. But it says there, he shall suffer loss. He'll lose his reward in heaven. His reward in heaven will not be what it should be because of backsliding. Dear people, it's a serious thing for a Christian. It's a serious thing for a church to backslide and turn away from the Lord. You study the life of the Apostle Paul, what a man of God he was. He was a man who feared backsliding greatly in his own life. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and the verse number 27. Notice what he says there about this fear in his own life as a Christian. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, he says, I myself should be a castaway. He feared losing out with God. And likewise, dear people of God, you and I also should fear backsliding. For it reaps an awful harvest. Reaps an awful whirlwind. Yes, the cause of backsliding, the consequences of it, the meaning of it. But notice finally this morning, in connection with our text, notice the remedy for backsliding. There is a remedy for brethren and sisters in Christ. There is a remedy for backslidings. And Paul highlights that in the very next verse following on from our text. Look at verse number 13 there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "There of no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." That speaks of the remedy for backsliding. Dear people, always remember this. Dear Christian, when we backslide, remember this, dear believer. The Lord is still married to us. He's still married to us. And in love, and in grace, and in mercy, and indeed with great tenderness, he calls us back to himself for restoration, for cleansing, for fellowship, for blessing. Never lose sight of that, dear Christian. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter number 3. Look at the word of the Lord there to his own people, to his own bride. Jeremiah chapter 3 and the verse number 14 and the verse number 22. This is what the Lord says to you and I when we go astray, when we go into Bypath Meadow and go away from the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 3, verse 14, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." There's no divorce between God and his people. Look at verse 22. He says, "Return, ye backsliding children," he says, "and I will heal your backsliding." What a promise. What an encouragement. My, whenever we return to the Lord, confessing our sins and our backslidings to the Lord and seek that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood, the Lord will not cast us off. He says, "I am married unto you." The Lord will restore. His great promise to his returning people is this. He says, "Return unto me and I will return unto you." He says, "I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten." In the book of Hosea, he says, "I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely." The Lord will not cast off. And dear people, when we know God's restoring touch in our lives as God's people, dearly we should pray that the Lord would keep us from evil, that he would keep us from falling. You remember what the Lord taught his people to pray in the Lord's Prayer? In Matthew 6, verse 13, he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's something we should pray as Christians every day of our life. The Bible says in the book of Jude, "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Day by day, we should trust the Lord, pray to God that he would keep us close to himself, keep us from falling, keep us from making a wrong choice, a wrong decision in our life that would lead us away from God. As the hymn writer says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And that's where God wants you and I to be as Christians day by day, trusting him, obeying him. And can I say, dear Christian, when you and I know another believer maybe that has fallen or gone astray, let us not be harsh with them. Let us not be hard-hearted toward them. But let us pray for them. Let us counsel them. Let us admonish them with gentleness and with graciousness. And by God's grace as believers, let us do all we can to lead them and guide them and direct them in the ways of God. You remember what Paul said to the believers in Galatia about that in Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2? He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." My, we are to do all we can to encourage them to walk in the ways of God and to cleave to the Lord and to live for the Lord and for his honor and glory. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're still not saved. You're a stranger today, God, to God's salvation. You've never come to Christ. You've never sought the Lord. You have not today the joy of sins forgiven. You have not today the assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven. Friend, in our meeting on saved man, woman, young person, boy or girl, the Lord says, "Look unto me." and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look to Christ. Rest upon his blood to wash away your sins. Rest upon his righteousness alone to make you accepted with God. And Jesus promises, this is the promise of Christ, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We're going to close.